Okay, so this is the May 5th, part two. Okay, so these are some verses which are from they occur both in the Samyutta, Sutta Nipata and the Majjhima Nikaya. Yo hi kochi manu sesu.
Yo hi kochi manu sesu.
Gora kangu pajivati.
Gora kangu pajivati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Kasa koso na brahmano. Okay, so yokochi means whoever. And the he doesn't really have any meaning, it's just a little emphatic. And manusesu, what gender, number, case? Okay, Suki?
Locative, plural.
Locative, plural, and gender?
Oh, gender. Masculine.
Yeah. Okay, and the meaning is?
Emotion.
Or human beings. It's not the gender, though it's masculine, but it's doesn't refer exclusively to males, but it's the general word for human beings. So anyone among human beings, then go rakang upajivati. In English, upajivati, we would say who lives by. And then go is cattle, cows.
Cows.
And rakang means protection.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be protection of cows, but it's actually, we would say, cattle rear, bringing up cattle. Let's see, cattle they give cow keeping, cows. Tending cattle.
Raising cattle would be more appropriate.
Yeah, whatever. In English, we would express this with an instrumental. We would say, who lives by keeping cattle, by raising cattle. But in, I guess in Pali, it takes the accusative case. Oh, actually, sometimes they use the instrumental, sometimes the accusative, I guess because they're trying to fit it into the meter. It seems to me that instrumental is more natural. Grammar section, upajivati takes accusative, jivati takes instrumental. I think that's what it says. Oh, yeah, it says, this is on page 73, upajivati lives on, depends on, plus the accusative, or jivati, lives plus the instrumental. But in English, we would express them both in the same way. So, anyone or whoever among human beings lives by raising cattle, tending cattle, then evang means thus, and that goes with the verb janahi, know thus. And vaseta is the name of the person to whom the Buddha is speaking. It's the name of a young man, a young Brahmin man. So know thus, o vaseta than what one knows. Kasako. Kasako means
a farmer.
Nongren?
Nongren.
Yeah. So he.
No.
He is a farmer. Na brahmano. Not a Brahmin. So whoever among human beings lives by raising cattle, mm-hmm. know thus, O Vaseta, he is a farmer, not a Brahmin. Okay, then.
I'm sorry. Janahi, what does that mean again?
Janahi. Uh-huh. Yeah, janahi is, what form of the verb is this? I should have asked this a question.
Imperative.
Right, it's imperative, second person of the verb meaning to know. So it means know thus. So, know, O Vaseta, thus, he is a farmer, not a Brahmin. Okay, the next one. Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Putu si pena jivati.
Putu sipena jivati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Sipi koso na brahmano.
Sipi koso na brahmano.
Okay, so whoever among human beings lives by. Okay, then the word putu, at least one of its meanings is. Various, different kinds of, mm-hmm. and then sipa means a skill, a craft. What's the Chinese word? Shuji, qi. Like different kinds of skills, like carpentry, Jishu. Okay, yeah, Jishu. So different kinds of skills, being a carpenter, you know, carpenter,
yeah.
who does work with wood, or making pots mm-hmm. with clay, doing artwork.
Not
a handyman is somebody who works in the house fixing things. But
artisan.
A craftsman. Artisan, yeah. Well, that supposes we have modern technology. Okay, so whoever among human beings lives by various crafts, then the rest is the same. Know thus, O Vaseta, he is, we say, a craftsman, mm-hmm. an artisan. What do they give? Sipiko. Yeah, they give artisan or craftsman. Mm-hmm. So know that he is a craftsman, not a Brahmin. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What sound?
Okay. Next one. Yo hi kochi manu sesu.
Yo hi kochi manu sesu.
Voha rangu pajivati.
Voha rangu pajivati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Vani joso na brahmano.
Vani joso na brahmano.
Okay, so the word vohara means business. business is what this would be like shangren.
Shangren.
So what is the word for business, trade?
Shangye.
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 Yeah.
Like
oh, I see. I see. Shangye. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So one amongst human beings who lives by business, by shangye. So know, O thus Vaseta, he is a businessman or a merchant, not a Brahmin.
Bhante, did you memorize, you're doing it chanting. I wondered if you learned this as a chant?
I didn't actually study it that way.
Okay.
Or learn it in that way. But I just...
It's not. I know, it's easy to do that, pick that up if you're used to chanting Pali.
Yeah, it's just that I know this particular meter, so
yeah.
This is more the Indian way of chanting than the Sri Lankan way. Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Para pesena jivati.
Para pesena jivati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Pesi koso na brahmano.
Pesi koso na brahmano.
So here, whoever amongst human beings lives by pesa would be delivering messages. So who lives by delivering messages for others. Para means other, and pesa means a message. Well, maybe delivering messages, we could say. So whoever lives by delivering messages for others, then no Vaseta, that he is Pesiko, would be a messenger, not a Brahmin. Maybe today we would say he is a mailman, a postman, not a Brahmin.
A question, Bhante. So in the translation in our handout?
Yeah.
It says it's a servant or serving others. Could it be broader than messenger?
I think pesa would normally be...
That's how it's glossed, para pesa, serving others.
Serving others and then servant.
I'd really have to see a variety of contexts.
Mm. Okay.
But I know it mainly as delivering messages. Okay, the next one, Yohi, actually, they're all the same except for one line. Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Adinang upajivati.
Adinang upajivati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Choro eso na brahmano.
Choro eso na brahmano.
Okay, so whoever among human beings lives by adinang means what is not given, but it implies whatever is stolen. So know thus, O Vaseta, that he is a chora, means a thief, not a Brahmin. And notice here, you see in the previous verses, the word meaning the kind of livelihood has three syllables, like kasiko, sipiko, vanijo, pesiko. But choro has two. And so they have to, in order to fit eight syllables, to make eight align with eight syllables, they have changed the so to meaning that one to aso, this one. Okay, the next, here we, next one we'll see, still a further difference. Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Isatang upajivati.
Isatang upajivati.
Evang vase tajanahi.
Evang vase tajanahi.
Yodha jivo na brahmano.
Yodha jivo na brahmano.
Okay, so here, whoever amongst human beings lives by isata is archery. Know thus, O Vaseta, he is, yoda means war or battle, and ajiva means a livelihood. So yoda jiva is a warrior. So know him, know that this one is a warrior, not a Brahmin. But now from the standpoint of the verse, you see yoda jiva, or yoda jivo. Here the type of worker has four syllables, and so there's no pronoun. Because you have to get na brahma, no is four. So yo da jivo na brahma no. Eight syllables.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Is that the reason why we have upajivati and jivati is because of the meter?
Or
does it differ somehow?
I'm not sure that that's the case. I think that might be just elegant variation. Because, okay, just taking the first one with Goraka, you could have said Gorakena Yohi Kochi Manu Sesu Gorakena. No, that doesn't sound good. Oh, yes, in fact, yeah, it is the metrical reason. Because upa is two syllables. So if you said gora kena jivati, then you get seven syllables, and so you're missing, the meter gets off. And if you had, okay, jump down to the third verse, vohareina jivati, then again you would be stuck with vohareina jivati, seven syllables. So wherever the livelihood is three syllables, then they have to express the verb with upajivati. And if the livelihood is putusipena, five syllables, then the livelihood, if the livelihood is five syllables, then the verb will be jivati with three syllables.
So does the prefix upa has a meaning, like in a different context of the word upa jiviti?
Living by, to live by. I wouldn't really read any significance into it. It's just that apparently upa jivati will take the accusative and jivati the instrumental, but no real difference in meaning. Okay, so we did the warrior. Okay, the next one. Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Poro hi chena jivati.
Poro hi chena jivati.
Evang vase tajanahi.
Evang vase tajanahi.
Yacha koso na brahmano.
Yacha koso na brahmano.
Okay, so here we have the type of livelihood is called porohicha, and this is an abstract noun. It's based on the verb, on the word, we don't have it in the glossary, but it's purohita, P-U-R-O-H-I-T-A. And the Purohita is like the Brahmin who ministers to the king, who serves as the chaplain to the king. And so in ancient India, the king would have one minister who's always a Brahmin, actually, who is like the advisor to the king and who's in charge of performing the sacrifices or arranging the sacrifices. And so the person is called the Purohita. Maybe I should write this. Oh, it's Purohita. Okay. Okay, now what happens? Yeah, that's good. You can just focus. Okay, you take the personal noun, Purohita. Now, to form an abstract noun, what is done is to strengthen the you. When the you gets straightened, it turns. You can go closer, and is that the full extent? This should actually be a hole also.
It's like a mirror.
It's like a mirror image turned to the ground.
Okay, what happens when the U gets strengthened, it turns into an O, just as when an I gets strengthened, it turns into an E. So, and then to form an abstract, one of the ways of forming the abstract noun is to add an ending YA, the A drops out and is replaced with YA. But here we have this combination of TY, which doesn't remain stable in Pali. But TY turns into a double C. We get the same thing with independent origination, patitya becomes paticha. So you never see ty in Pali, but the ty always will turn into a double C. So Purohita, one who is the chaplain. So then Purohita will be the position of the chaplain. Don't worry about, I mean, this is a little technical. Don't worry about it. Okay, so whoever among human beings lives by, how do they get into this? By the office of the family priest or the chief priest. Then it says, know thus, Vaseta, he is Yachaka. Yachaka would be one who performs sacrifices. Well, here they give one who sacrifices or a priest. Then he says, na brahmano. But actually, he is a Brahmin. Because it's only a Brahmin can be appointed to that position.
So is he talking about Brahmin, like enlightened?
Yeah, this is why he's... I think he's going to move into a sort of redefinition of the word Brahmin, so that it no longer means one born into a particular social class, but one who is truly the holy man. But in actual, terms of conventional social classes, the Purohita is necessarily a Brahmin.
But it's a real condemnation of offering sacrifices, because it's like you're not a Brahmin anymore if you're offering sacrifices. Maybe it's like,
well, here it's not condemning performing the sacrifices, but there are other places where performing animal sacrifices is condemned. Okay, then he says, the next verse, Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Yohi kochi manu sesu.
Gamang ratan cha bunjati.
Gamang ratan cha bunjati.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Evang vaseta janahi.
Raja eso na brahmano.
Raja eso na brahmano.
Okay, so here we have a somewhat different structure. Here we have gamang ratancha bunjati. Bunjati, the original sense is to eat. Then it takes on an extended meaning to enjoy. But now here apparently it's being used in still another sense of to rule. So one amongst human beings, whoever among human beings rules gama. Gama is village, and rata would be the realm, the country. Was it guoji? Mm-hmm. Is that? No, guoji is international. Guojia. 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 So whoever rules over the villages and the realm, know thus, Vaseta, he is a Raja. Raja is a king, not a Brahmin. Okay, and now this is where the Buddha sort of shifts the progression of the verses. Now he's going to redefine the meaning of brahmana. He says, let's recite it first. Nachahang brahmanang brumi.
Nachahang brahmanang brumi.
Yoni jangmati sambhavang.
Yoni jangmati.
Bovadinama sohoti.
Bovadinama sohoti.
Savehoti sakinchano.
Savehoti sakinchano.
This is a little bit difficult. Excuse me?
Gatsache, not sake.
Excuse me?
That word after the comma, after hoti, is S-A-C-E. Is that correct?
Sache.
You have sache.
We have sache.
Mine has save, and save seems to me to be a better reading.
Save.
I think sache must be.
If, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a typo.
I have save.
You have save. Yeah. What cover do you have?
Save is in the book.
Sache
is in the. Translation part, so it's a typo.
That's a typographical error. Okay, so let's go through this word for word first. Okay, na is, of course, it's the negative, not. Mm-hmm. And then here, chahung, this is joining ch, uh-huh, and or but with ahung, I. Then we jump to the verb brumi, which can mean to say or to call. And then here we have brahmanung, this is the accusative. Okay, then we'll continue on to the next line. Yoni jung, this is a compound. Yoni is the womb, and the suffix ja is based on jati, birth. So ja means born from, yoni, the womb, born from the womb. And then mati, here comes from mata, which means mother. And sambhavang means origin, origination. So they give from mati sambhava in the glossary, born of a mother, originating from a mother. So the Buddha is here saying, I do not speak of a brahmana, or I do not call one a brahmana who is born from the womb, originating from the mother. In other words, somebody who is born of a Brahmin woman, originating from the womb of a Brahmin woman, that's not the one that the Buddha calls a Brahmin. And then the next line is a little bit satirical, sort of sarcastic. He says, Bovadi nama sohoti. This is because the Brahmins would always call each other Bo, Bo, which means like sir, sir. And so he's saying, that one is a, it's very hard to put into English, he is a sir-sayer. One who's always saying sir, sir.
Is that to give each other respect?
It's a sort of respectful way that the Brahmins address both each other, and even they address those who are not from the Brahmin class but regarded as respectable. Like they always speak of to the Buddha as Bo Gotama, Sir Gotama. So one who, so the Buddha says, I do not call one a Brahmin. Then the sense is, just because one is born from the womb of a Brahmin woman, just because one originates from a Brahmin woman, or I do not call one a Brahmin based on the womb that one comes from, based on the mother that one arises from. So such a one, that is one who is born from a Brahmin woman, or who belongs to the conventional Brahmin class, he says, he is a a bovadi, one who just says, sir, sir.
Sir-saya.
A sir-saya, yeah. And then he says, sir-ve, the ve is just an emphatic particle, like, truly, indeed, indeed, he is one sukinchino. The word kinchina sort of takes on the meaning of attachment, obstacle. You know, the glossary gives one who is full of worldly attachment. Could be one who has attachments, one who has possessiveness. It's a very hard word to render very literally into English. But, you know, in the Buddha's time, it would have been quite meaningful, like to say somebody is, I don't know, try to think of a good contemporary English word.
Full of worldly attachment, you mean?
Yeah, but that's, I'm trying to think of something a little bit sort of colloquial, idiomatic.
A yuppie?
A trust fund baby?
A what?
A trust fund baby?
Trust fund baby.
And trust fund
born
baby
with a
is,
silver spoon.
Oh, that seems to be good, yeah, yeah.
A silver spoon, yeah.
But silver spoon in the mouth seems to imply somebody very wealthy.
Yeah, I don't
but
think
this
it's
is
that. I think it's a clinging, the person's...
Yeah. But, okay, just because they he is somebody with attachment, with worldly attachments. Okay, so I do not call someone a Brahmin just because he's born from the womb of a Brahmin woman, just because he originates from a mother who's a Brahmin. He is called a soothsayer, one who just goes around saying, sir, sir. Indeed, he is one still with worldly attachment. And then the next verse the Buddha says, or the next line, yeah, this is actually a six-line verse. So then we have to add this last line, akin to, so read in its entirety, it should go, nacha hung brahmanang brumi yoni jangmati sambhavang bovadi nama sohoti save hoti sakinchano akinchanangganadanang tamahang brumi brahmanang. Yeah, so the last line really is what sort of strikes the blow. Here the Buddha says, akinchanang, that means the one without worldly attachment. Then adanang, the one without any adana is grasping. They give one free from attachment. So one without any worldly attachment, one without grasping. Tamahang brumi brahmanang. So the tamahang is actually tongue, him, then ahang brumi, I call brahmanang, I call a Brahmin. So now in this verse, and the Buddha is sort of redefining the meaning of Brahmin. So it's the one without attachment, without grasping. That is the one I call a Brahmin. And then he continues, sabba sangyo janang chetva,
sabba sangyo janang chetva,
yove na parita sati,
yove na parita sati,
sangati gang visang yutang,
sangati gang visang yutang,
tamahang brumi brahmanang,
tamahang brumi brahmanang.
Okay, so sabba is all, sangyojana is the fetter. This is the Chinese jie.
Jie.
Jie is. Is it shujie or jie? Isn't there a use with another word? Jie. Shujie? No? Okay, anyway, you know jie. Yeah, the fetter. Like a. Yeah.
Fu.
Fu. Yeah. Mm. Chan is different. Chan is different.
Jie fu.
Maybe it's jie fu. Yeah. Okay. And then chaitva. What grammatical form is chaitva? Right. Gerund. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having cut. So having cut all fetters. Mm-hmm. But in order to fit in the verse, all would normally take a plural. So in prose it would be sabba sangyojanani chaitva. But here we have to get eight syllables. So sabba sangyojanang, sabba sangyojanang chaitva. So it's turned into a singular to fit the verse structure. Yo ve na paritasati, one who does not, paritasati means become agitated, become excited, become afraid or anxious. You know, they give one who is not excited, they give for paritasati to be excited, to be worried, to be tormented. Then sangati gang. Here we have a word sangha, which it's similar to sangyojana, could mean a bond. I don't see that they give it in the glossary at the end. Or they give the compound, one who has gone beyond attachment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sangha, it's similar, attachment. We could use a bond. And then atika is based on the verb gachati, which means to go. And atigachati would be to go beyond, to transcend. The prefix ati usually means beyond or sometimes excessive. And adi gachati is to go beyond, to overcome. And here it's forming a suffix, atiga, one who has gone beyond. So one who has gone beyond the bonds. And visangyutang is sangyutang means, one meaning is connected, or it could be, sangyuta can be the past participle related to the noun sangyojana. So sangyutang could be taken to mean one who is fettered, one who is tied down, one who is bound. And then vi, the prefix vi, has the sense of ending, somewhat negative, negating sense. So one who is free from fetters, one who is cut off the fetters. And tamahang brumi brahmanang, him, I call that one a Brahman. So one who, having cut off all fetters, is not agitated, is not distressed, is not excited. One who has gone beyond the bonds, who has cut off the fetters, I call him, that is the one I call a Brahman. Any questions about this? I notice in the previous verse they have tamahang joined together, and then here, I think it's the better reading from the metrical standpoint would be, even for the last verse, would be tamahang rather than tungahang. You could try just reciting it. Tunga, you see, if you're trying to recite a verse, tungahang, the throat gets stuck. Tungahang brumi brahmanang. But if you say tamahang, it flows more smoothly.
The few lines of bo vadi nama so hoti sabre hoti, why is the sa not so?
I'm sure that it has to do with that there's a metrical reason for that.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think it has to do something with the number of weak syllables and strong syllables in the line. Because so, if you make it so, that's a strong syllable. And ve is a strong syllable. And ho is a strong syllable. Then you would get three strong syllables in a row. And I think that would be contrary to the meter. But I'm not an expert on the details of meter. Any other questions?
One last.
Okay.
One line about the Yojnan.
Yonijang, yeah.
Yonijang Matisan Bhavan.
Yeah.
Then attitudes.
Yeah, those would be functioning as. Here they would be functioning as adjectives, going with, I guess that there is an unexpressed tongue. So I do not call, it seems that there would be implied here a tongue. I do not call that one a brahmana. And then yoni jung and mati sambhavang would also be describing that implied tongue, him. So I do not call him a brahman who is born from the womb, originating from a mother. In other words, the womb of a Brahmin mother. Okay, we're a little past our usual ending time, so we'll end now, and we'll have a class next week. We'll finish the grammar, and we'll finish the readings of Lesson 5. Okay, we end with three half bows to the Buddha. One, two, three.
One bow to Bandi.
Okay.
Thank you, Bandi.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bandi.
You're welcome.